about the programs specifically that make up Virgin Unite. Is there a specific program that you are particularly proud of that you think is just really amazing?
Yeah, I mean, we've got lots of great stuff on the go right now. We just launched a really exciting new clinic in South Africa that kind of takes the model again where we charge for basic healthcare services in a very rural area for what people can afford, and then we give away free HIV, AIDS, TB, and malaria care. And that's a perfect model, that example of a model that can be sustainable. And how we created that was we found just an amazing social entrepreneur on the ground in South Africa, a chap called Hugo Templeman, who had started a clinic outside Pretoria where he has very similar models. And what he did then is he went and he worked with the community to start small businesses. So he's got a diaper manufacturer, he's got a car wash, he's got a bakery, he's got a health center. And that just really helped uplift the whole community as well as the clinic. So we've worked with him as well as with Anglo Coal and as well as the U.S. government to build this clinic outside of in a very rural area called Sabi Sands. And it's going to serve about 100,000 people. So that's an example, of a great project that Richard just was out a few weeks ago to kick off in South Africa. So that's one example. Another one is we have a campaign called Heaven's Angels, where when we started looking at the whole issue of HIV and AIDS and malaria and TB, we found that one of the biggest missing gaps was rural transport. So once stuff gets into the country, how do you then get it out to the people in very remote rural villages? And there was a big gap there, and we found a fantastic, again, social entrepreneur organization called Riders for Health, with a lovely couple called Barry and Andrea, who have run it themselves for 15 years now, and partnered with them, and trying to build a slightly different model where someone from the village actually owns the bike and pays a loan back for the bike. They do healthcare delivery, like bed nets and basic medication, for 3 to 4 days a week. And then the rest of the week, they use that bike for entrepreneur activity to generate their own funds. So again, the whole project becomes self-sustainable. So just a great way to build rural transport and healthcare delivery, but then also totally uplift the communities as well. So that's just starting to kick off right now in Nigeria and probably Kenya as well.
Wow, wonderful. Well, you know, can you do me a favor? Can you define social entrepreneur? I mean, what's your definition of a social entrepreneur?
Our definition is someone on the front lines that has a brilliant idea for something that will be scalable to drive significant social and environmental change. So someone that comes up with a simple concept, like the Riders for Health with workers on the motorbikes, or there's this amazing guy in South Africa who came up with a university where the students actually run the university, and he has companies like KPMG and other organizations pay for the coursework and the teachers, so it becomes self-sustainable. So just a great idea like that usually is very, very simple, but has the opportunity that if you really got resources behind it and help them build a model, it could become very scalable and drive significant social or environmental change. And we tend to try to focus on the social entrepreneurs that have solutions that could be built into business models, but there's great ones out there, too, that have more philanthropic models also.
Right. What do you think, in your experience, is some of the motivations for these individuals? Because clearly there's a lot of people out there that could do things solely for making a lot of money and stuff, and many entrepreneurs doing. I mean, obviously money is a necessary thing with affecting change, and it needs that entrepreneurial brain in order to best allocate resources and talents and organize it and really make something happen. You know, these fabulous people that come up with these very unique models and go out and just put blood, sweat, and tears into making something happen to help people and help causes. What are some of the characteristics that you see in individuals like that that are needed in order for someone to be just a very effective social entrepreneur?
Yeah, I think firstly they have to have a passion for getting rid of inequity in the world. I think that's one of the fundamental baselines, a passion for the issue that they're really, really focusing on. And I think they have to be so selfless and so driven, because exactly as you mentioned, they're not going to get benefits like financial benefits normally or other benefits that you get in the corporate sector. So they have to truly be driven and very selfless in their motive. And I guess to bring that to life, there's an example of the guy who set up this first free university in South Africa. His name is Tady Bletcher, and he was working for a very large consulting company and had an opportunity to leave South Africa and make millions of dollars in his next job. He was working in the finance sector as a venture capitalist. And he was at the airport about to leave South Africa and felt so passionately that he would be abandoning his country and not trying to help it bring it to this next level. Then he actually ripped up his ticket to leave. Then he got a fax machine and negotiated a building from another company, from a company called Investec, to start this free university. And he then went out and found students. And this was about 5 years ago that he started this. And he's just probably one of the most incredibly driven people in the world, but his whole focus and his whole being is focused around how he can get these young people a better chance in life and give them a choice and an option in life. And the best social entrepreneurs that we've found to work with have really been those that aren't there to give handouts to people. They're there to give people choices and a voice in life rather than a handout. And they can see the opportunities that if you can do that, you can radically change that inequity in the world.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's one of the things that initially wanted me to just get to really research Virgin Unite and to interview you and see what you guys are actually doing, because, you know, starting with just the entrepreneur programs, which I'll ask you about in a little bit here, in Africa, you know, it's, I mean, what you're doing is you're enabling people. You're making them more capable. You're not just, here's money, here's food. It's, you know, you do that where areas where it needs to be done. You're simultaneously, the goal, though, is to empower people so that, you know, they can actually create a better life and a better situation for themselves, because that's the only way it's long-term and sustainable. How do you actually locate these social entrepreneurs? I mean, you obviously have a lot of partnerships and you're finding all kinds of great people. Is there a process of how you go about locating them?
There's a number of different ways. There's some great organizations out there like Ashoka, Schwab Foundation, Skoll Foundation, that have programs that help identify some of these people. So we work with them as partners quite a bit. We also go on the ground in Africa and just speak to lots and lots of people, and because a lot of the ones that are just up and coming you won't hear about through some of the networks yet. So we tend to, again, get on the ground, talk to the people on the front line, talk to them about their ideas. So that's another route. And I think that the third route, one of the beauties of being part of Virgin Group, is that people tend to send us ideas, lots and lots. So an example of that is we had this one chap in South Africa who was from one of the townships, and he saw this massive gap because there was no health centers in any of the townships, yet there was millions of people in these townships, and they had no way to work out, to, you know, do something from a health perspective, a fitness perspective. And so he kept on again and again sending Richard and Virgin Active letters saying, I want to start up a health club in Tembisi Township. And so Virgin Active and Richard decided that they would give this guy an opportunity. And so they provided him with the equipment, and he found an unused old disco, and they renovated the disco. And they've now turned it into a magnificent gym, and it's now serving, you know, a huge population in one of the largest townships in South Africa. So it's, again, just finding those good ideas, and I think finding the people that you know will take those ideas to that next level, and then just trusting them to let them get on with it.
Well, you know, I will ask you later on in the interview how people that would listen to this interview that are social entrepreneurs or anyone that wants to be involved, how they would actually contact you guys, and if they did want to get involved on some degree, way, shape, or form, being from as simple as a volunteer to literally, you know, be it donating resources, time, money, whatever, in order to do that, because I think, you know, the more the merrier. That's what's going to make the world go around. Let me ask you about the volunteers, the people that are actually on the front lines. Share some examples of how the volunteers and the funds actually specifically make a difference.
Yeah, we try to, one of the things we started out with is really trying to empower our staff to be volunteers and use their skills to get engaged and involved. So there's loads of stuff happening at a very grassroots level across the group to get, empower our staff to use their skills. And an example is in the U.S., we've partnered with a fantastic organization called Stand Up for Kids that was started by a guy called Rick, who felt passionately that there shouldn't be homeless young people on the streets in the U.S. And he's set up a program now in, I think it's over 39 states, where he runs it all by volunteers. There's only, I think, 5 staff members, where he has his team, his volunteers, go out and work on the streets with young homeless kids to try to help get them off the streets. And from a Virgin perspective, Virgin Mobile, for an example, in the States, has really, really gotten behind Stand Up for Kids. And their staff do loads of things to get engaged and involved, whether that be going and working to help renovate flats so that the kids can move into those homes, or they come up with really cool ideas of how we can use our products. Like one thing that's happening right now with Virgin Mobile and the other carriers in the States, if you text KORMA on your phone, then American Eagle, who they've partnered up with, will provide free clothing for these kids on the streets. And Virgin Mobile has also helped set up phones for the volunteers on the street so that they can, when they meet a kid that may need help, they can call in a hotline. They set up a hotline so they can call and get advice. So they've tried to weave it into their product as well to support these organizations like Stand Up for Kids. And we recently, like in the States, the staff from Virgin Mobile really wanted to understand better what it's like to be homeless. So the managing director, as well as the staff in the organization, literally spent 48 hours on the streets without any money and had to beg for food, et cetera, just to really understand what was happening.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's been really fun because it's, I think the important thing on the volunteering side is we to remember is we tend to get as much out of it as the organization as well because our staff then develop and learn as well on top of that, so the partners really help us in that sense. And we do loads of things to, I think one of the things when we talked to the social sector, what they felt strongly, how we could add value as a group, was really leveraging our marketing skills. So we send in hit squads, for example, marketing hit squads into the partners that we work with, where they work with them for a week to help them establish their marketing plan. And then they'll work ongoing to, for example, help establish a website or help establish a fundraising plan, help run events with them. So it happens on all levels, all different levels across the organizations.
I love that, marketing hit squads. That's great. I mean, you know, me, that's my whole world is marketing and promotions. And, you know, part of this here, doing this interview, is you know, my objective is to create an education-based marketing tool about Virgin Unite. So in my own way, small way, I can actually make people aware of really this organization and what you guys are doing and how it actually helps and get the word out there, because that's such an integral part of, there's so many great, wonderful people doing wonderful things. It's just finding out who they are and having people become aware of it. And that's what's so wonderful about what you guys are doing is just, you're just this big facilitation of all of these people that are affecting change. One of my favorite things, and this is what I was most fascinated during my dinner with Richard, is when he talked about what he was doing for the School of Entrepreneurship in Africa. So if you could, I'd like you to talk a bit about the entrepreneurship programs that are being implemented, the School of Entrepreneurship in Africa. Tell us a bit about that. And then there's also another program that utilizes entrepreneurs locally, you know, different ages, skill sets to make a difference. And if you could explain, how does this work?
Yeah, it's what we found in South Africa and talking to people on the ground and talking to a lot of young people is that one thing that was missing when they grew up in the township or in their rural area was that they didn't have a lot of role models starting up businesses and who were entrepreneurs, successful entrepreneurs. And so what we thought about and worked with, again, this guy, Taddy Bletcher, that I mentioned who started CEDA, was how can we start up a university that helps build that entrepreneurial spirit and really breaks new ground in looking at how can you, I guess, is the question too, when we first began, can you train someone to be an entrepreneur, or is it just naturally inherent in people? And what we found is, again, working with Taddy, we have a program where when they start at CEDA, which is the core university program, we provide them with very small loans, say $20, $50, and each student has to build a little business on that. And then as they progress through the years of the university, they then build a business plan, and then they transfer into an arm of the university that we've built called the Branson School of Entrepreneurship. And what that's all about really is finding those young people within the track of the university that have that start of an entrepreneurial spirit, and then helping really grow that inside them and helping mentor them to build that business plan and helping them hook up with other entrepreneurs around the world. And once they enter into the School of Entrepreneurship then, as a next step, we help incubate their business. So we incubate 30 businesses at a time, and we set it up very much so they have to set up just as they would in any business, set up a budget, pay for their phone calls, etc. And then we help them build their marketing plan, their business plan, help them learn how to handle their financial situation. And then after a period of 18 months of incubation, we've raised a seed fund that can then help them start their businesses. And the exciting thing about the seed fund is that was actually created by a group of external, very successful entrepreneurs from the UK who really, really wanted to get involved in the front line but didn't know how to do that. So they have each paid anywhere in the realm of 120,000 upward pounds to join us on a trip to Africa to learn more about the issues. And then all of that money goes into the seed fund to help these young people start their businesses. And those entrepreneurs themselves will get very involved in helping mentor these young people as they go through the course of starting their business up.
Wow, that's awesome. You know, how would you define an entrepreneur? What's Gene's personal definition of an entrepreneur?
That's a very interesting question, because we've been debating that a lot about the link back to the question of can you train someone to be an entrepreneur. And I think fundamentally, I mean, if you look at Richard as an example, it's a spirit inside someone that every single thing they see, they look at as an opportunity rather than any type of negative twist on it. And they look at it through a whole different lens. They look at it from a perspective, again, usually a very positive perspective of how can you take that and scale it up or take a different approach to do it differently. So I think they're constantly, their mind is buzzing with concepts and ideas. And you can see that when we do wake-up trips with entrepreneurs, successful entrepreneurs in the U.S. and the U.K. out to South Africa. And you can see as soon as they land, their minds start buzzing about how can I help that person who's making beads for, you know, five small shops to scale up and start selling them through Bloomingdale's in the States. You know, their mind goes from a very small opportunity to, again, how can I scale that up to something that's going to be very large and big and make that happen. And they have that, I guess it's harder to describe that, incredibly inspiration spirit that they have, that where they're able to bring other people along with them. So they get other people enthused and engaged, and then they make their idea happen, and they never let go of it. I think the entrepreneurs that I've seen that have been the most successful are just so incredibly persistent and so passionate about their idea, no matter how many times they get knocked, they still continue to fight with it. And I think that's what we see in a lot of these young people in South Africa in particular, is they've gone through such a difficult time in their life. I mean, most of them come from incredible poverty where they have had to beg for money. They, you know, most of them have had to go on the streets to find other ways to get money so that they can feed their family. They've usually had to, a lot of them, again, have been orphaned because of AIDS. So they've gone through such incredible difficult situation in their younger years that they've almost built up this incredible resistance and, I guess, persistence and wanting to make a better life for themselves. And so what we're finding as they progress through the school is if we can help them expand the ideas, the kernel, I guess, of the idea that they have, they are fantastic at making sure they push that forward and make it happen, because they already have that built-in kind of power in themselves to make them want to win.
That is actually a fabulous definition. You said so many very useful things there. I would recommend everyone listening, just even if you have to, go back and listen to that definition again, because I thought it was fabulous just talking about the passion and the optimism and stuff. And, you know, when I was talking with Richard about global warming and his contributions to global warming, and, you know, well, one of the things I said is, well, you know, really, what if you have all these people out here that are saying, well, you know, you can't do anything about it and nothing can be done, and there's always those sorts of naysayers in any situation, you know, what's the motivation? And he just said, he's like, well, you know, I'm an optimist. You know, if something can be done, you know, I'm going to try to do it. And I think that's just so critical is looking through, as you described it, looking through the lens and seeing opportunities instead of just problems, and seeing every problem as having a possibility to, you may not solve it entirely, but you certainly can improve it. And without that mindset, nothing gets done. And these individuals, entrepreneurs, have that. I mean, my very good friend and just very smart guy by the name of Dan Sullivan, you know, actually taught me where the original term entrepreneur was first used. A guy by the name of John Baptiste Say coined the term entrepreneur in the 1800s and described it as an individual that takes resources from a lower level of productivity to a higher level of productivity. And the way that I look at entrepreneurism is any area where you're just taking resources from one place and just improving it, making it better, even if it's significant or even just a little bit, that's entrepreneurism and that's entrepreneurial thinking. And that can be done in so many areas, not just in business. I mean, there's so many people that do nothing for money. However, they create so much, positive change and value in the world. So it's very cool. So thank you for describing that.